Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Well, I kind of have a new like location here. I'm visiting on my mom down here in California, and stop at my brother's place. He's got some deserty area in the backyard, so I thought, hey, why not shoot a program from here? Had a pretty interesting trip. Went to Las Vegas for a day to take my mom for a birthday on one of the buffets at one of the casinos. Ate too much this vacation, but anyway, just want to let you know it needs to be time for you to get ready. Get ready for lots of different things to go on in the world, which, you know, I think that Christians generally just are not ready for the coming events. I think that we are all playing the game that things are going to go on pretty much the way that we think that we ought to see them going on. You know, we go to church, we listen to our pastors, and get all excited over some songs and see the message. I just went to a Baptist church today and got to hear a Baptist preaching. It's a pretty nice church, you know. They had really elaborate choir and every kind of musical instrument I think that there is to make it really entertaining, to say the least. Had some pretty good songs. And then the pastor went on to teach a pretty relatively positive message, you know, something about being successful. And it wasn't too bad and everything. However, you know, in these days and age, there's some pastors listening to me right now. I want to come against you, not for you. I want to be against you. I want to say you need to start understanding what is going on in the world today. This is not like 2,000 years ago. It is not like 500 years ago. It is not like 100 years ago. It is not like a couple of decades ago. We are so close to what's about to happen that you've got to start teaching the people in your congregation about what is about to happen. There's not much you can do about it. If you're going to preach a message of fight this and fight that, or fight against these laws, fight against those laws, or whatever, you're wasting your time. This is not what Jesus said to do for the people that live in the last days. The government are going to set up the Antichrist kingdom, and the time is going to go according to God's plan. So if we have in our churches, all the churches telling their congregation, all you pastors telling your congregation that you need to vote right, you need to go and do these kinds of things and try to fight against this thing and fight against that thing, or try to get something going more along that would be more supportive of Christian ideals. You're not doing the right thing, Pastor. You're going to send your congregation to the slaughter. It's kind of sad when you sit in congregations and you look across the pews and you see that the pastor is not feeding the flock. During the centuries, during the millennia, the food has to come in for people that believe in God. Christians need food. Now, 1,000 years ago, Christians needed a kind of food to get them through a period of time for those ages. Now, time changes as we go on, decade after decade, century after century. And the food we need is survival food, food that can keep us alive through the time we are living. We don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, 700 years ago, 100 years ago, we don't have pieces of puzzles, but they keep coming in. Today, we got lots of pieces of the puzzle. Some have more than most. You need to listen to the people that's got enough of the pieces of the puzzle to tell you what to get ready for. You see, you have to keep your faith till Jesus returns. Now, the example of today, this Baptist church I went to, is really wonderful. He's describing how to connect success to what the Bible says. You know, there's man's idea of success, then there's God's idea of success. And you need to obey the law of God, as it were. He had his point. You know, for me, if you attempt to obey any of God's laws, you got to obey all of God's law, and humans can't. You need to be able to, Pastor, to explain yourself and your point when you consider saying obedience has something to do with obeying the law. That's not obedience of the Bible. The obedience of the Bible is to keep the faith. In Jesus is all righteousness. We're not righteous. We're not going to obtain righteousness by any works of obedience that we do ourselves in the concept of obedience and in our idea of obeying somebody's rules, even Bible rules, as it were. The laws of Moses was a school teacher. It taught us that we were sinners. It taught us we cannot save ourselves by any obedience to any law. Now, there is much in this world that is happening today. There is such a whole. I mean, it's you cannot fathom the differences of the people that we now individually can come into contact with, of the different cultures and backgrounds, countries, languages throughout the whole world. So we need to understand when we're preaching to any group of people that there is something more to today than there was yesterday. You've got to get ready, your congregation, Pastor, to live in the days ahead. And the days ahead are going to bring deception. Today's churches are using the modern versions of the Bible. Church I went to today used 4 versions of the Bible. You know, they had their multimedia presentations up there on the wall, and every song and every verse and so forth, and events that are going to take place was there up there on the screen. You know, generally speaking, there's nothing wrong with this kind of stuff. It's fine. But if you do not put in the message to your congregation about what's going to happen, it's going to change all of this. To get people ready to be able to keep their faith in spite of what we see, we should not be looking that the government is taking down religious symbols. It's another area, you know, there's a cross up in this mountain, and the government probably will be soon to try to take that cross down. Well, it's kind of interesting how churches today are concerned about symbols of Christianity being taken away. Had we read the Bible, we would know that the world hates us. We had a heyday. We had luxury more than any other Christian era in the past 2,000 years. We are so filled with the food. Pastors, Ezekiel chapter 34 is directed at you. You are feeding yourselves and not your flock. To feed yourselves, you are thinking, what does the people want? We got to entertain them. We got to have the best singers. We got to have the best of this or that. Now, there are other churches that are not so financially able to do this. But in those churches, almost universally, all across the board, Christian churches are trying to entertain the people. And they are absolutely blinded to the counterfeits of Satan. You know, I come on here it almost week after week and talk a little bit about the counterfeit Bibles. You know, I try to tell you something here. You know, what is counterfeit, people? Is counterfeit something that, you know, if you talked about the Bible, it would say, Satan's Holy Bible? You know, there is such a thing, Satan's Bible, and it's got a Pentagon or something on the front, or symbols that we usually associate with Satan. Do you think this is a counterfeit Bible? If you think that Satan Bibles would be something to do with witchcraft and stuff like that, who taught you what counterfeit meant anyway? You know, doesn't counterfeit mean like in a dollar bill or something, or a $20 bill, that you ought to have this piece of paper that you can go to a store and buy something with? And hadn't this ought to be that your idea? Because if you go to a store and you hand them Monopoly money, they'll laugh at you. You can't buy anything with this. So the counterfeiters that are any good try to do every single thing they can that when it comes, when you get a counterfeit bill from any kind of source, when you look at it, you can't tell. You might try to compare it to some chart. You know, where I worked, the new colored money came out, you know, and so we get the, I print out from the internet little ways to help you detect what is a counterfeit when, you know, they got the wire in there and they got some paint marks or whatever they're called, watermarks, I guess they're called. And so you try to compare the bill with what they say the real bill is. I can't tell. I'm sorry. I look at that. They look too much the same, you know, so I don't know. Maybe they are real, you know. But that's what counterfeits are for, to look real, that you can pass them off as real. And this is what Satan is planning. God doesn't need to make a million varieties of anything. There's one Jesus. There's one God. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one Abraham, where it all began there for the nation of Israel. There's one King David. And there's one line from Adam to Joseph, where Jesus was born from. Not from Joseph, but from his mother, who is in that line, can be traced back. All this time, the Bible lists the generations. There's no other guesswork to it. All the generations are there. Now, there was one written original copy of the Bible. The original, handwritten, by either the people that was speaking it, or by some sort of scribe or person that would copy down whatever it is Paul said or something. You know, we got so-and-so who is writing this down for Paul also gives you a greeting or something. You know how it goes. Finally, about the second century, you had available to you copies, original copies. That means you had the original that was handwritten, and then somebody went around and copied it. Now, this original copy was still around in the second century. And yes, there were other original copies, because people wanted a copy, so they used the original and made copies. But at the second century, you had, this was called the received text. Now, this was translated into Latin Vulgate and was commonly used up till about the King James day. Now, another corrupt text, you see, Satan planned to make a counterfeit Bible. And in the second century, he had the manuscripts already written out. And these were from the same books that we have today in the Bible, and they were translated also into Latin Vulgate. So you had two Latin Vulgates now. One is called the received text. The other one is the corrupt text. Now this corrupt text conveniently disappeared. At least there's no record of it being around until the 15th century. Now in the 15th century, it came up, and because it's old, you know, old, the older something is, the more accurate it is. And people now are using the received text pretty commonly, and some of them aren't all that old, you know, copied from this and that and so forth. Yeah, so they had it around. But so now they got this corrupt text that is really old, hadn't been used. It quickly became the official Bible of the Catholic Church. Then about the 18th century, it got retranslated back into Greek and then translated back into English, which became the official Church of England Bible. Then you have all modern translations coming from that version, because there's 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. But you only have one Bible. All the other received text Bibles that were out and about, there were several, disappeared. The King James Bible, one, survived unto this day. Now, we have people going about and condemning the King James Bible. One of the reasons is because King James has been proven to be gay. And so now, how can you accept a Bible or use a Bible that was authorized by somebody that's gay? God is so wonderful. He uses that which you despise. People despise Jesus. We love to talk about that. We say, oh, we're persecuted because they first despised Jesus. He is using somebody that you, a group you despise, to make a Bible that's the only Bible that's good. The only Bible that's good in this Baptist church. They use the New King James Version. They use the New International Version. They use the ASB and the NASB. ASV, ABS, ABV, or American Standard Version, whatever those initials come out to, ASV. And, but they didn't use the King James in anything. You see, us modern folk, we don't like to say thus or cometh and goeth. We want to hear go and stuff like that, you know. We don't want to hear goeth. So we have modern versions of every sort and even more coming out. And we love them. But we don't check out where they came from. Where do they come from, people? Open up the preface. It'll tell you. Really original and all that kind of stuff. Well, we believe it. We believe our teachers. We go to our pastor and our pastor says, this is a good one. Besides, there's only minor corruptions in the Bible, like maybe the word was or the or a. So you don't really have to be too concerned, because whatever it is that is wrong, is not that serious. However, one thing that you are deceived about these modern translations is that it is extremely serious. So much so that by the time you're finished reading it and then rereading it, the subtlety, the ever so slight changes that, I mean, you could say, well, what do you mean? It's taking Christ out of Jesus. Here it is, saying Christ right there. You don't hear a word that I say, or anybody that would tell you, it's taking Christ out of Jesus, because you will swear to your deathbed that Christ is still in Jesus in these modern translations. But what you can't seem to get across in your mind is what happens in your mind. Don't you know we're physical? Don't you know we have senses? Don't you know there's people out there that are so in tune, so expert, so trained, so knowledgeable about how to trick your mind? We have games we play. It's pretty easy. You know, we can make some sort of illusion and it makes us look like water's going up. It makes downhill look like it's uphill. We see this all the time. There's all kinds of tricks we could play on our eyes. Our conscious, our mind tells us this is not real. Water flows down, but our eyes are saying it's flowing up. Well, this is what's happening here in these Satan counterfeit Bibles that I am telling you about. All modern translations. They're tricking you. They are making you think that the water is going up. But your mind is not ready to do this. Your mind is already, we've easily, because, you know, we're told. Our eyes can trick us. They can make it look like water's going up. So here's a little trick you could do, a little game you could do to show that it looks like water's going up. So we do that. So we know in our mind, because they told us the truth, our eyes can be tricked. But nobody's telling us truth that our minds can be tricked by reading the subtlety of corrupt version Bibles. And this is what you're doing, people, when you read modern translations. You're reading the subtlety of the trickery, of the deception, of 5,000 years of expertise. Well, it's been 2,000 years since it was done, so we have to cut that down to 3,000 years of expertise. The people that wrote it were of the people that had a background of 3,000 years of working for a common goal to reestablish the days of Noah. In other words, Antichrist kingdom. This is a 5,000-year process, and it's to deceive you. One of the counterfeits is Satan Bible, counterfeit Bible that looks real to you. We call it the NIV, New Jerusalem Bible, and so forth. It's NSV, New King James Bible, and so forth. We call them all sorts of names, but we don't want to use the King James Version anymore. After all, we now know the King James was gay. We used to think he was transvestite, so King James Bible was still okay. But now we know, for the past decade or so, he was gay, so we cannot use that. People, there are more counterfeits to come. The counterfeit rapture, the counterfeit second coming. You're going to see this. It's designed to affect your senses. All input sources in your physical body is going to receive stuff that is created by technology. NASA will control an awful lot of it to trick you into believing what you're seeing and hearing to be Jesus. People, you get ready. Pastors, if you don't start teaching your church some of the things that I'm telling you, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Because it's important. You're feeding yourselves and not the flock. You're feeding yourselves by feeding the flock what you think they want to entertain them. Feeding them enough food that they feel like you're godly. And you think you're godly because they're amen in you. Get ready. Now the time now, if you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now you need to begin to learn about what's about to happen in this world. It's already happening before you. Don't love presidents that are going to turn the United States into a dictatorship. That's going to happen. But we love Bush. But Kerry's the same. He'll do it a little differently. But I'll tell you something. If you don't check these out, then you're going to be tricked. See you next week.